produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Well, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. This is Pearl Coupe again on our weekly radio show, and I just wanted to just let you know that today's program is going to be a little bit different. I'm sure many of you around the world have been listening to radio reports, television reports, and reading newspapers. It's been all over media with regard to the situation in South Africa. And, you know, there's just been a lot happening right now. And right now, as I'm talking to you, so much has happened within the past week, within the past 10 days. Quite a few things have been going on. And I think just to give a little bit of a background, because I really want to dedicate today's session to prayer, a little bit of a background is that in South Africa, there's been a court case that has been ongoing. And it's been presided over by a judge, by the judge called Judge Zondo. And he started a commission. This commission has been ongoing for a while, and it was a commission that was investigating corruption, and corruption specifically that was happening and taking place at the time when former President Zuma was in power. So there are allegations of mass corruptions and involvement with people from outside, a family known as the Guptas, and the Zondo Commission has been investigating this for a long time. Now, I don't want to go into the details of this because I do want us to spend time praying. But former President Zuma was requested to appear before the Zondo Commission. And there came a time when he refused to give evidence before the Zondo Commission. And as a result of that, was then sentenced by the Constitutional Court to 15 months imprisonment. And all the riots and anarchy and looting and sabotaging and violence that you would have seen over this past almost two-week period was triggered as a result of former President Zuma, who's currently now in prison, having to go to prison. So there was mass anarchy, mass violence, mass looting. Buildings were being set and still are being set on fire. And many people, especially in KwaZulu-Natal, where former President Zuma has a very big support base, it was being made ungovernable. Vehicles were not allowed to move on the road. There were road blockages. There were buildings and malls being set on fire in protest. But having said that, I do want us to acknowledge and understand that actually this is a rule of law issue. That's number one. The spirit that was rising up and has been trying to rise up and raise an altar for itself in this nation is a spirit of rebellion, a spirit of anarchy, a spirit of division, a spirit of strife. And it is also a spirit which I, you know, like to refer to as an Absalom spirit. If you read the account of Absalom and you found out that Absalom, who was one of the sons of King David, was somebody who brought and lobbied and mobilized a whole team, including taking his own father's advisor, Ahithophel, to rise up in rebellion against lawful authority, lawful governing, ruling, and reigning authority. That is the spirit of Absalom. The Bible tells us in 2 Samuel, it says Absalom would sit at the gate and he would begin to lobby the people, and he planted seeds of doubt in leadership because he wanted to enthrone himself. It's a spirit of anarchy and it's a spirit of rebellion. So as you pray for us in South Africa, pray against that spirit of lawlessness, the spirit of rebellion, the spirit of mobilizing people into lawlessness. So we have been praying and raising up an altar. Remember in 1 Kings 18, praise the Lord, there was a showdown between the false prophets of Baal and Asherah and the true prophet of God, who was Elijah. And the false prophets called on their prophets, called on their false Baals, and nothing happened. There was a showdown. But when Elijah pitched up, the first thing he did was to repair the altar. He cleaned out the altar. He repaired the altar. And he began to pray on a different altar. In this time, as you pray with us, know that this is a battle between the altars. Altars of evil, altars of spiritual witchcraft, altars of manipulation, altars of division, altars of criminality. All those altars are trying to rear their ugly head in the nation of South Africa, because South Africa carries a redemptive purpose for the continent and for the nations. South Africa carries DNA of transformational revival in her loins. And so the enemy is trying to raise up an altar to scatter that, to scatter the purpose, divine purpose and destiny and redemptive purpose of South Africa. We praise God that because people are praying that he will not prevail in his agenda. And so we've been raising up an altar and saying, Lord, we're raising up an altar of peace, an altar of governance. This is what we're praying for. We've been praying on Isaiah 60, using Isaiah 60 verse 17 and 18, and declaring that violence will no longer be heard in our land, declaring that the walls of salvation of South Africa are walls of salvation, declaring that the gates of South Africa are gates of praise. So please pray along with us on those lines. Raise up an altar of righteousness and justice. Rule of law must prevail in South Africa. We cannot be a bunch of lawless people. We cannot protest against one individual going to prison for having broken the law, for contempt of court, and want law not to be abided by. Every single person must abide by the law, regardless of your gender, regardless of your tribal affiliation, regardless of your social standing in life, whether you have been a leader or whether you're the daughter of a domestic worker, the law must be applied consistently. So we raise up that altar of righteousness. Psalms 97:2 says righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. So as you pray for righteousness and justice to prevail in South Africa. Pray that corruption be exposed, because this is what the Zondo Commission is all about. It's interrogating and investigating very senior officials out there. Pray with us that every corruption will be exposed. I love Matthew 12:36, you know, and it talks about nothing being hidden, and that which has been hidden will be exposed even in this time. So pray with us around Matthew 12:36. It says, actually, do not be afraid of them. And it says, Matthew 12:36 actually talks about giving an account. So pray Matthew 12:36 that each and every one of us will give an account on the day of judgment for every word that has been spoken. We'll give an account for everything that has been done. But also pray that all corruption that has been hidden will be exposed even in this time, and that those who have looted the coffers, the government coffers, that they will be exposed and they will be found out, and they will be taken out of their positions. they will be taken out of their positions. So that is the prayer. We're praying for righteousness. We're praying for also good governance. We're praying for justice to prevail. God is a God of justice. El Gibor, Jehovah El Sabaoth. He is a God who is justice himself. He doesn't just dispense justice, but he himself is justice. So we're praying for justice to prevail and justice to rule. Pray for an altar of unity above all. This is something that we really are praying for in this time, is unity, unity. The enemy, whenever he wants to, you know, wage war, he brings division. He brings division, and he will bring whatever division he can through whatever means he can. He will bring ethnicity, putting that into play. So right now we see that predominantly a number of people from the Zulu nation are now wanting to support former President Zuma because of his tribal affiliation. But this is not about earthly ethnicity. This is about heavenly ethnicity. The Bible tells us that we are citizens of heaven first. Our first responsibility is not to react on the basis of our earthly ethnicity, but our first responsibility is to react as sons of God who must take accountability and responsibility for stewarding this nation of South Africa. So it's not about arising. Zulus should not be fighting others or anything. But what needs to happen is that the children of God, the sons of God, need to rise up right now and need to pray, hallelujah, that all things will be exposed, nothing will be covered. Luke 12:2, that's the actual scripture I was referring to. Luke 12:2, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever you have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which you've spoken in the ear and closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. So we're just encouraging you, wherever you are, whatever nation you are out there, please do join us in prayer. We are in a time of prayer, and we're praying for peace to prevail. We bless God that things are starting to quieten down a little bit. So please keep praying and speaking violence out. We are also now praying for the rebuilding. It's time for us to rebuild our walls. Nehemiah was the one that we know as the great rebuilder. His heart was burdened. His heart was agitated because when he looked at the walls of the city and he saw that the walls had been broken down. And so God gave him a burden to rebuild. That is what where we need to go right now. And we've been encouraged by so many stories where Santaco, for instance. Santaco is the South African National Taxi Service Association. And we have seen heartwarming stories where Santaco taxi associations have been gathering together to defend the malls, to make sure that people do not loot them. They've been gathering together to clean up the malls, to volunteer and defend the borders of the cities. This is unheard of for us in South Africa. We've never known taxi drivers to be law-abiding citizens. Most of the time, they're breaking the traffic laws. They're busy, you know, cutting people off in the traffic, and they're busy going through red lights and all of that. It's amazing that God is actually doing a new thing. And those who were the lawbreakers, those who were not obeying the law and abiding by the law, have become the defenders of the law. How good is God? We see that God is turning things around, and we will be able to declare, like in Genesis 50, verse 20, that what the enemy meant for evil, God is turning around so that many may live. So pray for us as we begin to rebuild the city, that people will come together. People will come together and as one, as we say in Zulu in South Africa, simunye. Simunye means we are one. Pray that people will come together in that oneness. We're making a call to action, a call to unity, a call to clean up the cities, a call to help those without food. There are projects and initiatives out there called Creator Inspired Project. There's another one called Heal Our Land Project, where you can donate money to to a certain account. And if you are interested, let me know and I'll send the account details there. Food packages are being sent out to people who do not have food out there. So we're working with those two great initiatives, Heal Our Land Initiative, and I will send the flyer out with the bank account details if you want to give to that bank account. And the other one is Creator Inspired. Helicopters are going out to deliver food to people who have no food, basic food packages out there. So we want God to help us rebuild this nation, like Nehemiah rebuilt the walls. May God help us to rebuild the walls in 52 days. Rebuild the walls in 52 days. And so we bless God. We give him glory and we give him honor and we give him all the praise. And we're inviting you to join us. We are moving in unity. Pray for unity, please. Unity is the one thing that God was very specific about. He said that unity is the thing that brings a victory. From Genesis, from the Old Testament, God talks about unity. And he says when Nimrod was building the tower, he said, look at them. They're in one accord. They're in unity. And because they're in unity, he said, there's nothing that will be restrained from them. One of the principles around unity is that whenever you gather to build in unity, whether you're building a good thing or a bad thing, the same principle applies. God said that the principle of unity means that you become immovable, means that you become unstoppable, means that you become unshakable. In fact, God said in that Genesis 11:6, he said, nothing shall be restrained from them. In other words, they will accomplish the task. In other words, they will fulfill the mandate. Why? Because the principle of unity is a winning principle. It means you win. So pray for us to be unified across tribes, whether we're Zulu, Pedi, Tswana, Ndebele, Swati, whatever tribal affiliation, whether Venda or Shangan, you know, whatever tribal affiliation one is, Afrikaner, pray that God will bind our hearts together with cords that cannot be united so that we can rebuild South Africa, feed the hungry and the homeless, and make sure that there's shelter. And make sure, you know, God, Jesus set out 6 criteria in Matthew 25:35-45. He talked about hunger, thirst. He talked about nakedness. He talked about prisoners. He talked about those in hospital. And he talked about the strangers. So pray that God will bring us together to make interventions in all those areas, to be able to feed the hungry, to be able to give water to the thirsty, to be able to clothe and give shelter to those without clothing and shelter, to be able to minister to those in hospitals and those in prisons, and the strangers, the foreigners, the displaced people, the disadvantaged, the vulnerable. Pray that God will bring that unity. Bring that unity. It's unity that is actually a provocation for revival fire. We saw that in the book of Acts 2:1. God said, gather up in one place, stay together in one place, in one accord. And that's where the revival fires broke out, because they were unified in one place. And that was the birth of the Pentecostal church as we know it. Another fire I'm reminded of happened in 1 Kings 18, when Elijah brought the 12 stones that represented the 12 tribes of Israel that had been scattered. He brought them together prophetically. And again, God answered by fire. So unity is a trigger for revival fire. Unity is that which triggers the revival fire of God. So pray that we will be unified in one accord. You know, I'm reminded again in Psalms 133, the principle set out in Psalm 133 around unity. God talks about unity. And the first thing he says in that psalm is how good and how pleasant it is when brethren dwell together in unity. It is indeed pleasing. It's wonderful for God to see his children operating in unity, moving in unity, speaking in unity, one language, one accord, serving one God. So pray for that unity, that like never before, our unity will be even strengthened as we come out from here. The situation that we've managed to go through, that managed to pass through, that instead of dividing us and causing anger, hostility, and bitterness, that instead it will bind us together with cords that cannot be broken. So pray for that unity. God not only said that it's pleasing for him for us to operate in unity, but he said it's like, you know, the anointing, precious oil. When unity begins to flow, it's like the precious oil flowing from the top of Aaron's head right down through his beard till the bottom of his garment right there. So anointing, unity releases anointing. Oil always speaks of anointing. So wherever there's unity, God is able to release his anointing to cover the whole place. And so as you pray for unity, pray that that burden removing, yoke destroying anointing will be removed. Removed to do what? To destroy the burdens of poverty, to destroy the yokes of witchcraft and ancestral worship, to destroy the yokes of corruption and sexual immorality. All those are yokes which we're trusting God, that God will begin to do a new thing in the nation of South Africa. The last thing, you know, in that scripture on unity is that it talks about God commanding a blessing. It says it is there that he will command a blessing. So continue to pray for us to walk in unity, to move in unity, to operate in unity. And that's where God, he doesn't suggest, he doesn't recommend or suggest a blessing. He commands the blessing. And so as you pray for us to move into that place of unity, we're trusting God that we will actually move into a new place, a new season, a new dispensation, a new time. So we really bless God for this time. And please continue to pray for us. It's not over. Please also pray for the president. President Cyril Ramaphosa is in very challenging times, having to deal with COVID at level 4, but not just COVID, this whole scenario. So please pray for him. And, you know, the Bible tells us that we must pray for our leaders so that it may be well with him. Pray for him and pray that God will give him wisdom, that he will be able to hear. The Bible says that his ear is not too short, nor his arm too short. His ear is not deaf and his arm is not too short to save. So we're just praying for this time that God will arise and God will make intervention in the matchless name of Yeshua. So pray for the president to have the right men and women surrounding him, the right political leaders, religious leaders, who will give him sound counsel, who will give him sound pieces of advice for such a time as this, during this time. Pray that God will gather the right people around him, not selfish people with a Nimrodic Babylonian agenda, but people who have a heart for God and have a heart for kingdom expansion. Let that be the cry of your heart, of my heart, in this time, that we will cry out unto God and trust God for a transition. Trust God for a new day, a new season, a new dispensation. He is able. He's able to do it. And as South Africans, we're standing together, ready and willing to rebuild the walls. Join us in prayer. Remember that we have initiatives that you can join us, not so you don't just need to join in prayer. The Bible says faith without works is dead. So do join us in prayer, in making prophetic declarations, in worshiping God, and just extending your faith on behalf of South Africa. But the works part as well. We will share the flyers where you can make your donation, because faith without works is dead. So help us to help the needy, the disadvantaged, the vulnerable out there who need food, who need clothing, who need shelter out there. So continue to pray for us. And we love you. We love you lots. Like I say, keep praying for the president, that the right people will surround him with the right advice, and pray that whoever is around him with an ulterior motive or agenda, that God will open up the eyes of his understanding to all of those, and that God will also begin to connect him with those that God has set aside for him in this time and in this season. God richly, richly bless you. Continue to pray for us. Continue to pray with us. And send us prayer notes, voice notes. Send us prayer messages on social media. all over the place, but let's continue to pray. And I believe that we will be testifying very soon of God's goodness and how God turned the situation around in South Africa. South Africa is the Rainbow Nation. That's whom she's known as. And we know also that rainbow signifies covenant. So let the covenant that God has established with this nation, let it arise and let it speak on at this time. Let the covenant of promise that God has made with this nation, let every prophetic word that has been prophesied over South Africa over the decades, let those words come to pass in this season, in this dispensation, and in this time. I love you with the love of the Lord. Thank you for listening to this broadcast. Do share it widely and encourage people to pray for us in South Africa. Declare shalom over South Africa, over the nation of South Africa, over its people, over the infrastructure, over the gates, over the everlasting doors of South Africa. Do share and remind people to pray. We're also praying for your nations. We're also praying for the people out there. And God richly bless you. We love you with the love of the Lord. Blessings and love.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Amen. This is Shimikotu Ministries Radio Network with our co-producer, Kayla Paget. We are bringing you the voice of destiny. Get yourself ready. Prepare yourself wherever you are. This is a critical talk covering a very critical subject. One is found in the book of Beginnings. The other one is found in the book of Revelation. Join us right now as we get together.
Been praying about, and I believe it's important understanding the criticalness of the time in which we are living in. And if you've got your Bibles, I'm going to give you three portions of scripture, and the title is very, very simple. Who is at your doorstep? I know you have got your masks on, so I wanted to say that to your neighbor next to you. Just say it with the gusto of the pastor. The pastor wants to know who is at your doorstep. Are you afraid to talk to them? Say it like you mean it. And I wanted to say that once again. I want to hear all the voices in the house. Who is at your doorstep? Come and ask them. All right. First scripture I want us to see, Genesis chapter 4 from verse 3 to 8. Second scripture that I would like us to see will be Revelation 3 and verse 20. And the last scripture that I would like us to read will be John chapter 5. So at this stage, I want us to go straight to the beginning of the Bible, which is Genesis chapter 4, verses 3 to 8. And let's see what God wants to do in our lives today. The book of Genesis is the very first book of the Bible. And it says some interesting things. And I find it very interesting that the very first book of the Bible and the last book of the Bible, which is Revelation, they say something that is very, very interesting and important for us to know. Now, give me once again the gusto of DECC as we read all of us behind those masks. You look all beautiful, by the way. And I want you to read all very powerfully and loud and clear. One, two, go. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. It's important that you catch as you read the Bible, because I want you to see what he says there. Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Quite a few times, a lot of preachers, we like to dissect and understand what's happening there. Why did God accept Abel's offering and he did not accept Cain's offering? Now, pastors, we are good of theologically to try to bring you across the meaning of that and the meaning of that in Hebrew, but I wanted to go with my flow. The Bible says Cain brought an offering, right? That's what he brought. He brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. And I wanted to see the next verse now, verse 4. Let's read all of us together. One, two, go. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering. Go back to verse 3. You know, let's see verse 3. In the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought what? An offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. You got that? Verse 4, the Bible says, what about Abel? He brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. Without going anywhere else, it's important for you to know ground rules with God. What's first in your life? You didn't get it? Let's go verse 3. Go verse 3. Don't let them see it. Let's see what Cain brought. Cain brought what? An offering. Abel brought what? The first fruit. So it's important for you to know that once you get these ground rules in your life, you're on your way to victory. For some of us, God and walking with Him is a secondary option. Who comes in after many things? After you've trusted in everything else, then you say, oh, by the way, I need to pray. But you see, the ground rules that you learn from verse 3 is Cain brings an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. But Abel in verse 4, in Hunger, the Bible says he brought the firstborn of his flock. What is first in your life? I'll tell you how we want to know how you're going to spend your next 24 hours by determining what is first in your life. So it's a principle that I learned years ago when I got saved. Got saved when I was 11. And the principle of the first was established in my life. That when you talk about the principle of the first in your life, it is not just about the one-tenth of your money. Because whenever you talk about money, people all get all hung up. But it's important for you to know, with God, when He says first, it is not just your money. But first, it includes yourself. Actually, it's supposed to be yourself first before your money. Because if your money comes first and you are not first with Him, it's not going to work either. What is first in your life? So the principle that I learned in my life is first thing before I say good morning, honey.
Good morning.
That's right, Kalesha. I say good morning to Him. First thing first in my life. I establish, therefore, that if I don't create that routine in my life, it is possible that when I wake up, first thing at my doorstep is thinking about my bills, is thinking about my mortgage, is thinking about my school fees, is thinking about what's going to happen at the end of the day. But if I start first things first in my life, I am ordering my world.
Amen.
So I want you to learn that in your life as we go together. I want you to learn the principle of, I want God to be first. 6 verse 33, the book of Matthew. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And then what? All these things. And I love that. All these things shall be added unto you. God knows your needs. God knows what you need in your life. God knows about your tomorrow. And it's important for you to understand that if God is first in your life, it orders the rest of your world and you will see what God is able to do. Say this with me. I want God to be first in my life. Right. When Abel brought the firstborn of his flock and their fat, the Lord respected Abel and his offering. So why did God accept and respect Abel's offering over his brother? It is because the other one brought an offering, but the other one brought the first. When God is first in my life, that means everything else is secondary. Let's keep going with the verse 5. Let's see what it says. One, two, go. Once again, But he did not respect Cain and his offering, and Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. I've said this to you. There is nothing wrong with anger. It is a powerful emotion. That oftentimes anger becomes dangerous when anger is out of control. How do you know that anger is not out of control when it changes your body parts? His countenance fell. How do you know that your anger is now out of control when you now go into the kitchen drawers and you want to break every plate and every porcelain cup as if they talked to you? Then you know anger is out of control. How do you know you are now out of control when everybody, the dog and the cat and everything, you are taking them, everything upside down, the tables are taken upside down, then you know that it's out of control. Anger is a powerful emotion, and we all do get angry. Did you know? Here's a secret. Even God gets angry at sin. If you don't harness this powerful emotion, I want you to see where it takes you. The Bible says he was very angry and his countenance fell. How do you manage your anger? How are you managing this powerful emotion called anger? Listen to the Bible. Next verse. To go. So the Lord said to Cain. You are reading with me. You forgot. Want to go? So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Stop right there. What do you mean, why am I angry? You know why I'm angry. Why did you take and prefer my little brother's offering and you ignored mine? Remember the principle? Because Abel gave first and Cain gave an offering. Whatever is first in your life will determine your future. I can guarantee you right now that the rest of your life between now until you die is determined by what is of priority in your life. If God becomes number one in your life, you are setting up a stage for your victory. If God is first in everything that you do, you are setting up yourself for a life of completeness. The Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Listen to what Cain, and why has your countenance fallen? And the next verse, verse 7, let's read together, 1, 2, go. If you do well, that's true. Because not allowing God to be first in your life, first before you get married, first before you choose your life partner, first before you go and apply for that job that you want. If you want everything to work well in your life, he says, do well first. And what is the doing well first? Make sure I am the first in everything. Here's a recipe for you that will help you from stresses of life and worry. When God is first, he knows that he will carry you through. Say this with me. God is first in my life. Say like you believe it. God is first in my life. There is power in what you're confessing right now. Allow him to be first in your life. When you establish him to be first in your life, first thing when you wake up, first thing before you pull out your car from your garage, first thing before you go out there and then blame the devil, who was first in your life? What was the first thing that you did when you woke up? The Bible says there, if you do well, will you not be accepted? I love that. If I do well, if I put first things first, God says, you will be accepted. And allow me to say it right now as your pastor. You are accepted this morning that you chose to come to the house of God. That's the first thing for you. And because you are in the right place and with the right God, it's important for you to understand what the Bible says there. If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, where is sin lying? And I want you to see what the Bible says there. 1, 2, go. Sin lies. let's repeat once again. Sin. Shout it again. To go. Sin. Okay. It's not sin until you take it on board. So, who is at your doorstep? I'll help you. It's very simple. Sin is lying at the doorstep of your life. You are a spirit with a soul, or with a body, or with a soul, and you live in a body. Part of your soul, which is your mind and your will, is what I want us to understand what happens there. Before you blame the devil, and before you blame the demons, let's understand ground rules. Who is first in your life? Because if I understand who is first in my life, the one who is first in my life will determine the rest of my life. You with me? So it's important that you understand that if you do well, will you not be accepted? If you don't do well, there is something that is lying at the door. Before murder, something was lying at the door. Before you did that stupid thing, something was lying at the door. Before you shot in needles in your hand with drugs, there was something lying always at the door. It could be loneliness, it could be depressive thoughts, it could be despair, it could be disappointment. But I want you to understand, don't be fooled. The devil does not jump from one place to another place and to another person without your permission.
Amen. Amen. Come on.
Amen.
You're with me?
Yeah.
If sin lies at the door, that helps me now to say to you some few things that you need to know. Number one, the devil cannot tell your future. Write that down. He cannot tell the future. And I'll tell you why. I know that the devil cannot tell your future. You see, when you go and engage in the occult practices and CNCs, astrology, and all the jazz stuff that people get involved in, I wanted to understand that the devil knows very well that the future belongs to God, and your future is in the hands of God. Jeremiah 29 verse 11, when it says to you that before you were formed, God says he has got plans and dreams for you. But because the devil does not know your future, he will try by all means in every hour of your life to entice you to go the direction that destroys you. Because your future is in the hands of God Almighty. Read for me quickly Deuteronomy chapter 29 and verse 29. You know, you get that because they're looking at me funny. 29, verse 29 of the book of Deuteronomy. Because they're saying, are you sure about that? 29, 29, what does it say? It says, the secret things belong to who? Do you know what the secret to your life? It is not the devil. It is not the demons. It is God who knows the secret things. The secret things belongs to the Lord our God, but those things that are revealed belong to us, not even to the devil.
Come on.
Na, 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 na. The devil thought he got you, but the devil is a liar.
Amen.
I want you to tell the devil straight at his face, the devil and your mother-in-law and your cousins and your nephews, you are forever defeated.
Amen.
Talk to me, somebody.
Come on.
Because he cannot tell the future, but not only that. It's important for also you to know that the devil cannot be all-powerful. He cannot be. The devil cannot be all-powerful. The devil cannot be all-knowing. The devil cannot be all-present. That is why he uses his minions of the demons to work for him. Only our God is all powerful. That means he has got all power. You can talk to God right now, but there are places right now who are preparing to wake up so that they'll go to church. And when we finish our service, he was here, but he will be there. So that you can say, God, please, as I go to church this morning, please look after my house. And God says, yes. And you say, God, by the way, as I drive my car going to church, please be with me. And God says, yes. And then you come in here, and then they stand up here, and they say, please, Lord, we need your presence. And God says, yes. Because he is at home. He was in your car. He's here. He's all powerful.
Amen.
And because he's a God who is all powerful, it's important for you to know the devil cannot be all knowing. Because God alone is our God who knows all things.
Yes. Amen.
Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
Because God is all-knowing, the devil is not all-knowing, and God is all-present, and the devil is not all-present. And it's important for you to understand. And I'm going to give you something else as well that's very powerful that I want you to understand about the devil. Contrary to what they have told you, the devil cannot tell your future. Two, the devil cannot be all-powerful, all-knowing, and all-present. But the third thing is what that I want to understand, the devil cannot kid you. And I know you struggle with that, because John 10:10, you say to me, it says, he comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But I'll tell you right now that he works alongside with your will.
Yeah.
Even those that have committed suicide, the devil needs cooperation. So when you see the verse that says, go back to my verse, you know, again, that says, sin lies. Where does sin lie? Right. So sin lies at the door. And that door there talks about the door of your heart. So it's important for you to understand. It says, if desire. Some of you just fall short. If desire is for you, but who should rule over you? Who should rule over you? You are the one in control. So have you ever heard people say, the devil made me do it? Oh no, it's not me. The devil made me do it. No, trust me. The devil did not make you do nothing. You can rule over it. But you know what I find therefore very, very interesting? Having realized that sin lies at the door and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. I just told you what the devil and his demons cannot do. They cannot tell your future. And I know they lie to you. But the devils as well and his demons, they cannot be all-powerful. They cannot be all-knowing. They cannot be all-present. And also the devils and his demons, they cannot kill you. They'll need your cooperation. But here's one thing that I want you to understand as well. What the demons and the devil can do to you. Number one, you ready? I wanted to see that one right now with me. Because it's important that you get that even as we go together. The demons and the devils, they can demonize you. I wanted to get that one. They can. Demons can demonize believers. There's argument that goes on for years. And different preachers, they attest to different theologies. But I wanted to understand, there are those who believe, if I am born again, I can't be demonized. There are those also preach and teach, if you are born again and spirit-filled, you cannot be demonized. Here's my text, before you take out your bag and your Bible and go. A Christian can have anything they want. You can have the demons if you allow them to come in. Because sin lies at the door. If sin lies at the door, that means it's waiting for somebody to say, come in. But then he says, the desire is to have you, but you can overrule it. You can stand and say, no, I'm not going to have that. So get that with me. A Christian who is born again, who opens up a door, spirit-filled, the demons can come in. There are a lot of Christians today that live in that bondage because they don't seem to be understanding the ground rules. So let's talk about the engagement of the rules so that you can understand all the rules of engagement. Demons can demonize believers. That's number one that I wanted to catch. Why do I know that? Because you just need to go through the scriptures. Luke chapter 13 talks about a daughter of Abraham who was demonized in the temple for 18 years. So I know that she was a daughter of Abraham. She was a Jew. She was in the temple for 18 years. Priests and rabbis were there, but she had a spirit of infirmity for 18 years. So demons can demonize believers. But number two, that's one thing also I wanted to understand. Not only that, that's very, very important. It's important for you to understand that demons can cause torment on your body. And oftentimes, through despair, through disease, through sickness, through disappointment, or different kind of things that can come all over your over your life, the enemy will cause torment over your life. And it's important that you understand that for me as a child of God, how therefore can I win this battle? Number one, demons can demonize Christians, and demons can cause torment through sickness, through disease, through despair, and they can torment your soul and your body. And that's important for you to know. Remember, you are a spirit. You live in a body. You have a soul. The soul area there, that's where your mind, your will, and your emotions. In the soul area, your mind, your will, and your emotions. That's the critical area where you need to say either yes to Jesus or yes to the devil. When you allow the enemy to come in, that's the door that the Bible talks about. Sin lies at the door waiting for you to say either yes or no. So demons can cause torment over your life in the soul area and your body. And it's important that you understand all that can be set free by our King of Kings and our Lord of Lords. The last thing that I wanted to understand about the demons in your life and as we live in this world is the fact that demons can mimic the supernatural of God. They can. And I can tell you the reason why this one is probably my favorite one, because when you check why you found yourself indulging with the demonic stuff, you were promised power, you were promised money, you were promised influence, or you were promised healing, or you're looking for something. You are looking for something over your life, and you're promised where you can get it. And therefore, you find yourself being delving in occult practices, in whether it was astrology, or it was Ouija boards, or it was tarot cards, it was palm reading, whatever it was, or witchcraft. The main thing that I wanted to get is they can mimic the supernatural power of God. And
Amen. Once again, Shimikotu Ministries Radio Network, we have to close. I thank you so much for allowing us to speak into your life. We'll continue next week. So please join us once again as we continue with this subject on Shimikotu Ministries Radio Network, the voice of Apostle Josh Moyer from Western Australia on Western Standard Time. Stay blessed. Join us again as we continue next week.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.